Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Pianist Miki Sawada joins us here for KUAC's Alaska Live. Beautiful piece that you shared with us to start out today's show. And you said that's a transcription that was transcribed for solo piano.
Yes.
And it's called Sleepers Awake.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite pieces to hear. It really does set the tone for a show.
Yeah. I like to say that, you know, Bach was a very religious person and most of his works were for the church, including this one. And I'm not a religious person myself, but when I listen to it or when I play Bach's music, I understand what it feels like to be religious. So I say, you know, isn't it amazing that music can help us feel like that, like experience other people's
in awe, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Miki, you're here all the way from New York, right?
Yes.
And you are here on a tour that you've called Gather Here Alaska, and it's a listening tour.
Yes.
It's to play throughout Alaska in small communities, mm-hmm. far and wide. You tell us about what your what your goal is for this tour?
The goal is, well, at the very basis of it, I'm exploring the idea of the piano as a central object in a gathering space. So, you know, when there's a piano in any space, people want to touch it, they want to see what it sounds like, they want to listen, they want to sing. So I thought it was really special that one object could do that. So then I wanted to take that idea further and then thought, what if I took classical music outside of concert halls and placed them inside of community gathering spaces? Like, what kind of experiences could people have?
Because taking the classical piano outside of the concert hall makes it less formal.
Right.
We can, you know, experience it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And up on the concert hall stage, you're so far removed from the audience at times. But that is the background that you're from. You are a performer. You are classically trained.
Definitely. I mean, not to say anything against the concert hall tradition. I mean, there are definitely perks to a very nice acoustics and amazing instruments and a really quiet audience. But that's only one side of classical music, I think. And I think that side's been explored very much in the last 100 years. But maybe we can bring it back to a more intimate listening experience, too.
Because the classical piano was probably in salons, in people's houses, and people would play right amongst their guests and their families.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be the central object of any home throughout the 1800s. And yeah, no TVs, just the piano, endless entertainment.
Oh, you're bringing back the piano as entertainment in the home and small space.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And so share with us another piece that you're using as part of this musical journey with Gather Here Alaska. Then we'll talk a little bit more about your tour.
Sure. On my tour, I play a whole bunch of different kinds of classical music. I don't really have any criteria for them except that they're concise. They have like one point that they like to get across. So sometimes I jump from Bach to Gershwin, which I'm going to do right now. I'll play for you. I'll save I Got Rhythm for later. Okay. I'll play Embraceable You, which many people are familiar with. And this was transcribed by a virtuoso pianist named Earl Wild, who was actually my teacher's teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is Embraceable You by George Gershwin, transcribed by Earl Wild.
We have Miki Sawada here at KUAC's Alaska Live. Thank you. Miki Sawada playing live here on Alaska Live. I'm your host. I'm Lori Neufeld. You are tuned to KUAC. And that last piece from Gershwin, have you chosen some pieces that would, you know, speak to a certain generation? Because I'm sure you have, from 18-month-old to 80-year-old at
do.
Your shows here in Alaska and throughout where you tour. Mm-hmm. So how have you programmatically done that? Because I think that that embraceable you would really speak to, you know, maybe a generation that remembered when it came out.
Definitely. Yeah, I get strong reactions from older audience members, yeah. But also younger ones who don't know this song. I thought everyone knew Embraceable You, but maybe I'm older than I thought. But yeah, it has that American jazzy feel that people really responded to. Yeah. And I program a lot of things. Some of the things I think are more challenging to the listener than the others. So I like to mix them up and throw in some easily listening here and there.
Gershwin, yeah, it was really, you can hum along almost, and makes you want to come closer to the piano. And it's a very nice, nice listening experience. And you have been touring Alaska. We are about in the last part of your tour here
in
Fairbanks.
No, I'm only midway.
Oh, you're only midway?
It's a long tour.
Great. You are here for almost a month.
Yeah, I'm here for 3 weeks exactly.
Yeah.
And I just hit the halfway point 2 days ago.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
For listeners, you just, you're using some technology here.
Yes.
For, you don't even need a page turner.
Exactly. So I was going to pull out some newer music.
Uh-huh.
Next. And, so for newer music, contemporary music, I use music often because it's a little bit trickier to memorize.
For those first two pieces, you had those memorized. You had
yeah,
no music in front
no
of
music.
You at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I have a iPad and I can import PDFs onto there. But then I have to turn pages, right, every minute or so. So I have a Bluetooth page turner that I place next to the pedals. And people ask me all the time what it does.
Yeah, it's just your page turner down there.
Yeah.
It's a Bluetooth page turner. Oh, technology has taken a job away from a page turner.
This is true. But, you know, it fails sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think still statistically it fails far less often than human page turners do, because there have been some catastrophes.
Oh, recently on Facebook, one of our folks here from UAF, George Rudlinski, posted the most disastrous page turning incident. It was four hands on the piano and the page turner was just really creating quite the chaos.
Yes, I have many stories.
I bet you do. Because the page turner has to be in tune with what you're doing,
yeah.
But the Bluetooth will be yeah. here for you. Well, new music. I can't
yeah.
wait to hear what you have in store for us. So will you explain yeah. what you mean by new music and contemporary
sure.
music?
So I live in Brooklyn in New York City, and there's a very strong contemporary music scene there. So it's classically trained performers and composers writing music today. So I play in new music ensembles, maybe, you know, ranging from 3 people to even like 8-10 people. And composers will write new pieces and we'll premiere them, which is really fun. And yeah, as a soloist, I've had a bunch of composers, really talented composer friends, write pieces for me, which is incredible. So I've been bringing them on the tour.
So is this one of those pieces that you commissioned?
Yeah, I think this is the first piece I ever commissioned back in 2013. Yeah, the composer's name is Paul Karakis, and he's New York-based. We went to Yale together, Yale School of Music, and he's also an amazing pianist. So that's a little intimidating when the composer can play his own piece better than you can, maybe.
Well... You know it was composed well for piano if the composer
definitely.
Is also playing the instrument mm-hmm. that you're going to be playing on.
Yeah. Because some composers, they don't play piano and then they write things that are not so difficult musically, but they're just not, you know, great for your hands.
Miki, have you done some of that with working with a composer to make it more piano friendly?
I have. Yeah,
yeah.
That's the really fun part about working with people who are alive as opposed to Bach is that, right. you know, you constantly have this dialogue. They'll show you drafts and then I can ask them questions or, you know, oh, if this is the idea you wanted to get across, why don't you try this instead? And then oftentimes they'll rewrite things for you.
It's hard to collaborate with those dead composers.
Very difficult. Can't text yes. them.
I guess in that case, you have to collaborate with the folks who have been playing the music for a while and get hints and tricks from them.
Very much. Yeah, so for older, you know, more dead composers, there's definitely a tradition that goes along with their works. So you kind of always have to have that in mind. And what are you going to do as a performer that respects that tradition, like understands that tradition, but also you're doing something fresh and there's a reason that you're playing it because there are hundreds of other people in the world playing it at the same time.
That has to be a cool part about having a piece that you've commissioned, mm-hmm. though, because you get to premiere it to the world mm-hmm. and nobody else has heard this piece yet and how it was played by someone else. Mm-hmm. You get to play
it. It's very exciting to be the first person to play in the world to like really birth it into the world because it only exists on paper until you do that.
Yeah. Oh, the term birth is a very interesting term to say, you know, this piece is being born here.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, we're seeing this piece as kind of a young child.
Yes, maturing.
Uh-huh. And the pieces probably do. They evolve a bit in your hands.
Definitely, for sure. Yeah, I've been playing this piece on and off for the last 3 years, and it comes in a set called Vantages. Mm-hmm. And I've also played other works from that set, although only this one I'm playing is specifically dedicated to me, but it helps me understand Paul a little better.
So what is the name of this piece?
So this is called I Decide to Dig a Tunnel, and it's based on a Mark Strand poem. And in the poem, there's a man standing inside his house, and he's going paranoid because there's someone on the other side of the road staring into his house all the time. So then he decides to dig a tunnel. That's the title of the piece, I Decide to Dig a Tunnel. And then he gets to the other side and then realizes that that was always a figment of his imagination, and that was him looking into his own house the entire time.
Oh, wow.
So this piece is very circular. It's nervous. There's motion, but it doesn't quite go anywhere.
Miki Sawada is here for KUAC's Alaska Live. Thank you. Miki Sawada, that is an amazing piece. And I love this forum of Alaska Live where you get to explain a little mm-hmm. bit about the piece and then we get to experience it. And how do you convey something like that when that piece is part of a program where you don't have a microphone mm-hmm. to tell the audience about what's going on in the mind of the composer, or, you know, because a new piece like that, yeah. we might not be able to look up before sure. the concert.
Well, actually, on this tour, this is exactly the format I'm doing in all my performances. So
good.
I'm saying pretty much verbatim what I say in my concerts. But you're right. In a concert situation, a lot of times the composer will come up and speak about the piece. And that's cool, too.
Oh,
and you
wow.
can always find them afterwards and talk to them after mm-hmm. the concert.
So have you had the composer come up and speak before your piece that you've played in maybe New York or where you've been?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
It's so long ago now, 3 years ago. Yes.
So the Gather Here Alaska, mm-hmm. it is this format where you have a small group in a small venue and you're traveling around with a U-Haul with mm-hmm. a piano.
Yes.
Electronic piano, I take it, because something that had strings in it might be a nightmare right. to tune every time.
Yeah, you're totally right. So every time a piano is moved, it has to be tuned, which, first of all, it's a problem finding a technician, and then it's about $100, $150 per tuning.
You would have had to have traveled with one.
Yes.
Put that in your budget.
Yeah. Right. So I'm very, very lucky because Classic Pianos of Anchorage loan me a piano, and it's called a hybrid piano that Yamaha makes. And all the action is exactly like a real high-grade acoustic piano, but there are no strings.
Okay.
So there are sensors and there is a digitally sourced sound. So it feels professional level, but it sounds digital and it doesn't ever go out of tune.
So at some of these places, like here in the Alaska Live Archive Studios, we brought a piano from the music wing, thanks to Gary Toth for doing that. And so a few of these places you've had like baby grands mm-hmm. and uprights and yes. such, but other places you've taken this acoustic electronic piano.
Yes, so I think 90% of my concerts I've been playing on my own piano. So it's always a show when we're moving the piano.
It's part of the show.
It is, definitely.
Rolling it out of the U-Haul into the venue. Uh-huh. And I saw a video of this on Facebook on your Gather Here Alaska Facebook page. And you are not afraid of getting in the mix. You are rolling
not.
That piano. You're putting the boards down. You are rolling that piano yes. out of the U-Haul.
Yes.
You are pushing it places.
Yeah.
You have a documentary filmmaker with you mm-hmm. and you. And the folks that are at the venue.
That's right. Yeah, most of the time it's just the filmmaker and me.
Uh-huh.
And Jared Juarez was my first videographer for the last 2 weeks, and I just dropped him off at the airport on my way here, and tonight at midnight I'm going to pick up my second videographer, Andrew Rizzardi, who's coming from New York.
So part of this is not just the concerts and the experience that people are having. You are documenting this through film. And what's the plan with that?
Well, so the idea of that was to get a portrait of the very special Alaska communities through the lens of piano, which I think is unique, a little different from the reality TV take that you often get of Alaska.
Ice Road Truckers and Gold Rush, whatever. Yeah, huh?
I've never seen an episode, so I'll have to watch one of them. But yeah, we're not quite sure what we're going to do with the film yet, mostly because I really had no idea how this tour would pan out. I was kind of scared that it would be a total disaster. Like I would show up and the van was not reserved and the piano wasn't there or something.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. So yeah, it should be available online within a year.
And you have a website and you have a Facebook page.
Yes.
If people want to find out the videos so far and where you're touring next, where can they go?
They should go on Facebook to the Gather Here Alaska page. And it's H-E-A-R, not H-E-R-E.
Yeah. So what have been some highlights of the Gather Here Alaska tour that you've done so far?
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
I'm always just trying to wrap my head around the experience because it's just been so rich and beyond anything that I dared to imagine. But maybe my favorite concert so far was at the Fairview Inn in Talkeetna.
In Talkeetna.
Which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with.
I used to work there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is it rude to call them a dive bar? Is that derogatory?
It's a historic Fairview Inn.
Yes. Very historic. But, you know, to be in a bar, that's my only bar stop of the entire tour. And in the middle of the day, in a very touristy part of town, I was scared, first of all, that people wouldn't be there or that it would be full of tourists. Not that I have anything against tourists, but this tour is meant to be for local Alaskan yeah. communities. And to do it in a bar that tends to get very rowdy at night.
Right.
yeah, I was very scared about it. But
how did it go?
Yeah, so I showed up and there were maybe two people sitting at the bar and the bartender was like, what's your name? People have been calling about you, but I don't know your name. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this might be very laid back mm-hmm. and maybe no one will be here. But 5 minutes in, it was packed and people were quiet and they were listening and it was really incredible.
That is amazing yeah. to get a listening space in a bar that, right. you know, people maybe are thinking, well, I'm going to go carouse with my friends. But you did do it during the daytime.
Right.
So like you said, time. It gets a little rowdy at yes. night. But during the daytime, mm-hmm. You can have some.
Yeah. So throughout the tour, I'm playing in all these community gathering spaces. And my big fear was that people would not listen. And the whole idea of the tour is to listen deeply. So that would be a little sad. People weren't listening. But even in busy cafes, people just stop talking and they start listening once I start playing. I think that's the power of classical music. And, you know, I don't think I realized before this tour just how powerful that is.
It is a testament to your ability also, Miki. I mean, you are no slouch of a classical musician. You're trained at Yale and you teach, you play on professional stages, you are a recording artist, and so it's not like you've walked away from, you know, college where you got your major in, you know, economics. You've trained for this all your
sure.
life, but you've also trained for the stage, and you have a different stage on this tour, mm-hmm. and that's amazing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Well, you have the piano here,
yes.
and we have an audience. So is there another piece that
yes.
you have on your list?
Yeah. So for this tour, originally, I was going to keep it, you know, just a big mix of 3 to 5 minute long pieces like I've been doing today so far. And then 2 weeks before I got to Alaska, I did a preview concert in Maine and I tried that out. And then I just felt a little empty inside. I was like, I have to play something meaty. You know, because that's really the strength of classical music, are these massive works that are just so powerful and they just, you know, grab you by your guts and you can't let go, have that let go. But so I added some Beethoven pieces to my program. So usually I'll play for half an hour or so of short pieces and then I'll play something substantial. And it's been working well so far. Usually I play the Appassionata Sonata, which is a little too long right now, but I'll play for you another Beethoven piece called 32 Variations in C minor. And that piece is fun because you might think it's 32 variations, so maybe it's like 30 minutes long, but each variation is very short. It's about 15 to 20 seconds, which is rare. It's a rare form.
Can't wait to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to KUAC's Alaska Live. Miki Sawada, whoa! Those 32 variations of Beethoven's, he knew how to write something challenging on the keyboard. Wow!
For sure. And it's also very hard because the variations go by so quickly,
yeah.
So you have to change your mood and everything in, you know, just on a hairpin.
When I think about what that would look like, you know, as a play or something, you would have to change your characters so
yeah,
quickly.
Exactly, and the set.
Yeah, the set, and the costumes, yeah. And the lights. And you change the mood every 15, 30 seconds in that. Mm-hmm. And Beethoven, he was a genius with that.
For sure. And this one, he just tossed off, you know, writing, and he forgot about it for many years until someone played it for him. And he was like, oh, who wrote that?
Really?
So that tale seems to happen with every composer. So I don't know how true that is.
But even if it's a myth, it's a really fun story. And part of music and this show is telling stories. And I love that one where, oh, where did that come from? Well, it's yours, Beethoven. What was it like learning that piece?
Yeah, so this one was tough. It took many months before I felt comfortable performing it. Usually for something a little more straightforward, like that Gershwin I played earlier, you know, I'll just play it for a month or two and then I can perform it. But this one, yeah, it took me maybe a year until I really felt like it was part of me.
And I want to let listeners know also, Miki was not on any music again. She had that all from her head to her fingers, to the keys. And I find that very amazing. And, you know, listeners can imagine you sitting at the piano and you played that all from your memory.
Sure. Well, and they can come out and see it, too.
Oh, yeah, because you are at the Bear Gallery here.
Yes. So today I am part of the First Friday at Bear Gallery. So I'll be there starting at 5, maybe until 7. That'll be very informal. It'll be short selections and me talking about the project to whoever is interested in listening. And then tomorrow, Saturday at 3 p.m., I'll be playing at the Pioneer Park gazebo. And the weather seems like it's going to hold up. If it's raining, apparently there's a little church in Pioneer Park.
Yeah.
So it'll be there. And both of those events were organized by Fairbanks Arts Association, which I'm very grateful for.
Yes, they are one of our great partners here in the arts and culture scene of Alaska and Fairbanks. And so, yeah, it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. At least that's what I read on the weather forecast while I was on air yesterday for Saturday.
Well, I heard this radio station while I was driving, and that's what it told me. So
you were listening to KUAC.
I was.
That's great. Part of your tour is focused on what you call focused listening. So describe what you mean by focused listening, because I feel like I know what you're talking about, but then again, maybe I don't. Maybe I have something to learn here.
Well, I just mean that classical music, in order to really hear it, to really listen to it, you need to really be focused on it 100%. You can't really be doing other things and really getting the scope of the art form. So I think a lot of people think of classical music and they think of, oh, like this soundtrack to this movie, or you know, Mozart for Babies, or this is what I listen to when I'm studying, but I would love for it to be more than that and more of a vehicle for people to, you know, put their lives on hold and take a moment to really focus on one thing.
So classical music as more than just the background or soundtrack, mm-hmm. Classical music as an experience.
Definitely. I mean, there's so much going on emotionally, technically, and visually too. It's fun to watch.
I've heard listeners say sometimes they just had to stop what they were doing and just listen. And I think that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, that can be the power of really great music to listen to, that you do have to stop and focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're all looking for that excuse. So I'm happy to be that excuse.
In the middle of the afternoon, you know, sometimes people are getting their chores done and maybe you're giving them a break to just sit and experience, yeah. And maybe even throw on some headphones and listen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when they come out to the shows, you know, if it's an excuse to meet new people or see people they haven't seen recently or get to know a new place in town, I think that's all great.
Yeah, because when you said, you know, for tourists, oftentimes we talk about, oh, gazebo nights, it's for locals and tourists to come to, and yours is at the gazebo in Pioneer Park during the day on Saturday at 3, and so you'll get some tourists wandering through, and locals, you know, they know about this, and they can come and experience what your Gather Here Alaska tour is like.
Definitely. Yeah, I haven't done any outdoor concerts yet, so I'm very curious how it will go. We'll see. This whole tour is just full of experiments. Never know what's going to happen.
So you haven't done anything like this before in your music career. You have not gone out on the road
with a piano no.
And a U-Haul and a film documentary.
No, it's totally insane.
Oh, yeah. Well, we love it that you've chosen Alaska to do it. And did you just wake up one morning and say, I just had this dream and I want to make it reality? Or how did it come about?
Well, it came about the week of the election when we got the election results. And I was thinking, what is our role as artists and musicians in this society? And I was thinking about, so I'm not from here. I'm from Japan. And I really thought for a second, like, oh, maybe I should leave the country. I mean, I don't really have to be here. And then I was like, no, I mean, I love this country. I love the people in it so much. And it's very sad for me that there's so much hopelessness and divisiveness. So I thought, well, maybe I'll go to all 50 states with a piano and a truck and play everywhere. And if I really get to know people and then document the whole thing, that'll be like a great way to kind of get a portrait, like an optimistic portrait of the country.
So that started with the A's, Alaska.
That's right. No, that might still happen. I don't know. But I figured that would be a very large scale project, so I should start somewhere as a trial version. And Alaska just popped up because I've always wanted to come here. I'm a big backpacker and I love mountains and nature, so I wanted to be here. And also, you know, because of your communities, they're so unique. I thought they would be very receptive to what I'm doing. And so far, they have been.
Right. Well, I'm so glad that you started this this tour that may, you know, go on to other states, but that you have done your trial here for Gather Here Alaska and made KUAC's Alaska Live part of that, too. It's so special. And it's interesting that, you know, you want to feel close to a community and to people that, you know, you've really fallen in love with America and you want to give back to, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. And I know that I read on one of your blogs or Facebook posts that you see sharing music as part of social justice also. Mm-hmm. And you touched on that a little bit, but how is sharing music, I can see that in small communities too, but how is sharing music part of social justice in your world?
That's a very difficult question.
Yeah.
And this tour is part of me trying to figure out the answer. So I used to go about it from an education standpoint. I worked at a nonprofit that gives tuition-free music lessons to very poor, underserved neighborhoods in New Haven, Connecticut. And that was part of it. And now I'm trying to figure out how I can do that from a performance perspective. And I think that this experience of deep listening in the end helps us become better community members, better citizens, just better people. But that's pretty lofty. And I, you know, it's not like I have anything concrete to point that way, but that'll be a multi-decade pursuit.
Well, Miki, I think the shared experience that you're bringing to communities is part of that social justice. You know, we all have this shared experience. Like you said, you come out, you see people that you haven't maybe even met before in your community or you haven't seen in a while. And that's really important to feel connected.
Sure. And I'm only visiting. So, you know, it's kind of a hit and run. But yeah. I hope that through this, people either really appreciate more what's going on in their communities artistically or they're, you know, encouraged to do more artistically. Because I think, yeah, the arts are the answer to the future.
Absolutely. And we don't always see that in budgets at on the education level. You know, oftentimes it's arts and music that are getting, you know, cut first. And so having private citizens such as yourself come around and, you know, elevate that importance of music and experiencing music is it's really great work.
Yeah, and I really think the future is in the hand of small-scale projects like this, individuals doing things pretty low budget. And it doesn't have to be, you know, massive organizations or orchestras doing everything. So I would like to thank the Alaska Humanities Forum, who partly supported my project through their mini-grant. And yeah, they've been really wonderful. And of course, Classic Pianos of Anchorage, who have loaned me the piano. And yeah, but the project is made up basically of individual contributions. So I'd like to thank everyone that has supported this monetarily. And also so many people have put us up in their homes and fed us. And it's just been really incredible.
Before the show, you mentioned that your host from Healy was going to be listening on a KUAC transfer station. So
thank you.
Yeah, thanks go out to everyone who has hosted Miki in their homes and at their community centers and libraries and such. Well, I think it is time for the finale. What do you have?
Yeah, I promised Gershwin I Got Rhythm.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So this is also transcribed by Earl Wilde. Thank you.
Wada has been our guest, ending it with full forearm on the keys there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to our studio audience here at KUAC's Alaska Live Archive Studios, and a big thanks to KUAC's John Peralt, Jerry Swanson, Heather Hintzman, and Mac Landry. For KUAC's Alaska Live, I'm your host, Lori Neufeld.
Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.